on the happy hunting ground.
You stop that, said Mrs. Cake. Everyone knows you got run over by a cart in Treacle Street because you was drunk, one man bucket.
It's not my fault. Not my fault. Is it my fault my great-grandad moved here? By rights, I should have been mauled to death by a mountain lion or a giant mammoth or something. I've been denied my death right.
Mr. Poons here wants to ask you a question, one man bucket, said Mrs. Cake.
She is happy here and waiting for you to join her, said one man bucket.
Who is? Said Windle.
This seemed to fox one man bucket. It was a line that generally satisfied without further explanation.
Who would you like?
He asked cautiously.
Can I have that drink now?
Not yet, one man bucket, said Mrs. Cake.
Well, I need it. It's bloody crowded in here.
What?
Said Windle quickly.
With ghosts, you mean?
There's hundreds of them,
said the voice of one man bucket. Windle was disappointed.
Only hundreds, he said. That doesn't sound a lot.
Not many people become ghosts, said Mrs. Cake. To be a ghost, you've got to have, like, serious unfinished business, or a terrible revenge to take, or a cosmic purpose in which you are just a pawn.
Or a cruel thirst, said one man bucket.
Will you hark at him, said Mrs. Cake.
I wanted to stay in the spirit world, or even wine and beer.
So, what happens to the life force if things stop living, said Windle. Is that what's causing all this trouble?
You tell the man, said Mrs. Cake, when one man bucket seemed reluctant to answer.
What trouble you talking about?
Things unscrewing, clothes running around by themselves, everyone feeling more alive, that sort of thing.
That's nothing. See, the life force leaks back where it can. You don't need to worry about that.
Windle put his hand over the glass.
But there is something I should be worrying about, isn't there?
He said flatly.
It's to do with the little glass souvenirs.
Don't like to say.
Do tell him. It was Ludmilla's voice, deep but somehow attractive. Lupine was watching her intently. Windle smiled. That was one of the advantages about being dead. You spotted things the living ignored. One man bucket sounded shrill and petulant.
What's he going to do if I tell him then? I could get into heap big trouble for that sort of thing.
Well, you can tell me if I guess right, said Windle.
Yes, maybe.
You don't have to say anything, said Mrs. Cake. Just knock twice for yes and once for no, like in the old days.
Oh, all right.
Go on, Mr. Poons, said Ludmilla. She had the kind of voice Windle wanted to stroke. He cleared his throat.
I think, he began, that is, I think there's some sort of eggs. I thought, why breakfast? And then I thought, eggs.
Knock.
Oh, well, perhaps it was a rather silly idea.
Sorry, was it once for yes or twice for yes?
Twice, snapped the medium. Knock, knock.
Ah, breathed Windle. And they hatch into something with wheels on.
Twice for yes, was it?
Right. Knock, knock.
I thought so. I thought so. I found one under my floor that tried to hatch where there wasn't enough room, crowed Windle.
Then he frowned.
But hatch into what?
Mustrum Ridcully trotted into his study and took his wizard's staff from its rack over the fireplace. He licked his finger and gingerly touched the top of the staff. There was a small octarine spark and a smell of greasy tin. He headed back for the door. Then he turned around slowly because his brain had just had time to analyse the study's cluttered contents and spot the oddity.
What the hell's that doing there? He said.
He prodded it with the tip of his staff. It gave a jingling noise and rolled a little away. It looked vaguely, but not very much, like the sort of thing the maids trundled around, loaded with mops and fresh linen and whatever it was maids pushed around. Ridcully made a mental note to take it up with the housekeeper.